All right. Father, we want to thank you for this day. And as we prepare to honor you, we ask, Lord, that you would be at the center of this time together as we sing, as we worship you, as we bless you, and we again, as always, honor you for who you are, our God, our Father, our Savior, our King, our Lord, our Comforter. Thank you, three in one, Holy Spirit, Father, and Son. Amen. Father, you're in charge. You're in charge of every aspect of our lives. And we acknowledge that you're our God and Father. Father, we acknowledge that we are frail and we are fragile. And we have been through issues in the past, this past week, and ongoing situations. And Lord, sometimes we've been overwhelmed. And so first of all, we pray for those who right now need a special touch from you. They're in some kind of pain. And Lord, you know every kind of pain they're in, and you know those who couldn't be here because of their pain. And we think of Bruce Clark, and we think of Colin and Marg, and we think of Tim, and we think of Suzanne, and we think of Gord, and we think of so many that couldn't be here. And so, Lord, we just lift everybody up. We lift Roy up to you. We lift Rick up to you. We lift all these folks and hear these ones that are with us this morning. And Lord, we just put them in your hands. And we say, Lord, bless them. Touch them. Minister to them. Strengthen them. Empower them. Take away their fears. Remind them that you're the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Remind them, too, that their future is hid with you and your Son, Jesus. Remind them, too, that you know their pain because you live within them. And you know what they're going through. And remind them, too, that you have answers, even if they don't see what those answers are right now and they don't understand why the answers aren't coming faster. Lord, we just love these people. And we just lift them up to you. And we reach out because we know, Lord, many times we need help from you and we need people to reach out to us. And Lord, as we've heard today, how many different ways people have ministered to each other. And so here we are, Lord, as a family. And we are not neglecting our assembling together because your word says it's good for us to do it. And so in all of this, may we sense your love. And Father, we've had requests today. All kinds of people are going in for medical diagnoses, for surgeries, for medication updates. They're going in to have investigative reports done, whether on their stomach or their eyes. Lord, there's a lot of concern this morning. And I pray that, Father, you'll just say to each one of us, I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Be still and know that I'm God. And so, Lord, this is your family. And we're so glad to be part of your family. And would you bless each and every person. Strengthen Sally as she recoups from her surgery. Colleen as she gets over this issue with her kidney stones. Tim and his house. And Betty in the hospice this day. And each one in their homes. And Lord, we bless you for being our God. And thank you now. And we just turn our eyes upon you. We look full in your wonderful face. And as we do that, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. Thank you this day, Father, and for all the activities of this upcoming week, those who have to drive places and all the events. You're already into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. And so we're going to trust you. And all God's people said, Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you for praying together, turning our eyes upon you. And indeed, the things of earth grow strangely dim because you're in charge. And we're going to believe that today, no matter what we go through. Jesus, you're our King, and we want to honor you in all that we do. Bless this family now as we open your word. Thank you for blessing us this far today. Amen and amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the question. What does it really mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean? I mean, have you thought about not so much why you believe in him, but why you follow him? I mean, he asked people all through his 3 years of ministry, come, follow me. He asked many of them, follow me. Some said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. Or, you know, wherever you go, I'll go. I'll follow you. Well, what does it mean to follow somebody? I mean, So if you're believing, then following is a mental assent. So I'm following. I mean, I listen to something. Oh, you know, I follow so-and-so on television. Like, she's amazing. Well, what does that mean? What are you following for? Like, her philosophies? Oh, you know, I read so-and-so. Boy, I really follow his word. Like, what he says in those books, well, I'll tell you that. What does that mean? What you're seeing visually, you're assenting to? I mean, what does it mean to follow somebody? Or really, do we know how to follow somebody? Because a lot of people said to Jesus, Lord, everywhere you go, I'll follow you. And then there were times in his ministry, and he said, where's everybody gone? Or did they follow him because they got lunches better than Mandarin? You know, and in those days, you were being fed with fish and bread. I mean, that was a real good thing. Did they follow him for the miracles? Oh, you know what? He's better than television. What's television? But you know what? If we follow him, boy, he's going to be healing somebody. He's going to be doing something. Well, just last week, you know, the disciples told me that he walked on the water. Holy smokes. So are we following him for the entertainment value? Are we following because, well, we really need something right now? And so I'm following hard after Jesus. I'm praying and I'm talking to him really this week. But if next week's bigger, better, I'm going on my way. Why do we follow him? You know, it's interesting that Peter, and Jesus really hammered Peter, because remember, Peter went up and down like a yo-yo. And after he had denied Christ 3 times before Jesus was crucified, of course, then he met Jesus and, you know, he saw the empty tomb, etc. But the very last chapter of John, I mean, Jesus has breakfast with the boys. And I've often said this, you cannot talk to a man until you feed him. So the men are all fed, and then Jesus has this major discussion. One of them was with Peter. And first of all, he starts by saying, do you love me? 3 times. And then twice he has to say to Peter, you, follow me. Like, follow me. Now, if he's asking Peter to follow him, and he knows he's going to be ascending in a few days off the earth, then what is it he was asking Peter to do? Well, think about when they first got called as disciples. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. So there's a purpose and a concept in following. And that concept is timeless. And so what he's saying to Peter is, look it, buddy, you've got to get your act together. You've got to be so focused on me that no matter what life throws at you, you're not giving up belief in following me and who I am and what I am. So I want to unpack some of these things today, because I'd like you and I to think about why we follow him. I mean, we've been talking about relationship with Jesus, and we've been talking about strengthening our spiritual core. But I sometimes think we don't do enough critical evaluation. Why do I believe and follow who I believe? Why do I do that? Because I don't know about you, but life just goes up and down. And one minute you can be feeling great, and the next minute you can be feeling sicker than a dog. And the next minute, you know, somebody's said something to you and has put you back 10 steps. And then the next moment, a family member isn't talking to you anymore. And I mean, it's just all over the map. So why do we follow Jesus? And I want to offer you 4 points. So if you're making notes, I suggest you write. The first one is because of who he is. I can't stress this enough. We follow somebody who's in charge. He's in charge. He's running the universe that he made. Think about that for a minute. Everything you see that's beyond the buildings that are man-made, God made it. Jesus was instructed to do it all, and he's in charge. And what's interesting is in Matthew, he says when the disciples were off with Jesus up in the region of Caesarea Philippi, up to the north, and he asked his disciples one day, who do men say that I am? Who are the men, the Son of Man, that I am? And so they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist, of course, was Jesus' cousin. Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, I think we look at that and we miss the word living. You're the Son of the God who is alive. We don't serve a dead God. We have an alive King. Even the centurion, remember when Jesus died, he said, "Surely, surely this was the Son of God." Even in how Jesus died, there was power. Hebrews is one of my favorite books, and in chapter 1, it says, "In these last days, spoken to us by his Son, God has spoken, whom God has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." He made the worlds through whom? Jesus. "Who being in the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of God's power, when Jesus had by himself purged or taken away all our sins, he did what? Went and sat down at the right hand of God." So the first thing we need to understand is we follow him because of who he is. He's either the Lord, he's either a lunatic, or what is being said about him makes him a liar. Those are the three options. He's our Redeemer. He's the forgiver of our sins. He's saved our life from eternal damnation in hell. I'm following him because of who he is. And you know what? I don't follow him based on what people say about him. Because much of the world hates him. I was telling you last week that when I was in Halifax with Beth, I had this hour conversation with this male witch, this warlock. And I kept going back to the fact of, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You've got to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Is he the king of the universe or not? He wouldn't answer that. I said, is he God or not? And he wouldn't answer that. And I said, at some point in your life, as everybody's going to have to do, they're going to have to make the decision about who Jesus Christ is, and they're going to have to make it publicly. Because, what does the Bible say? At some point, even every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the honor and glory of God, the Father. So we believe, we follow him because of who he is. Now, if we're having a rough week, does that affect who he is? Does our attitude toward him affect who he is? No. How many times do you hear people go, "Oh, I'm so mad at God"? The question is, why? God's God. And he's in charge. So that's the first point. Secondly, why do we follow Jesus? We follow him because of what he wants for the whole world. You know what I love about Christianity? There's no cliques. If you see cliques, those are in churches. There's no cliques in Jesus Christ because he talked to every single person that walked along the roads, and every single person he offered the same thing, come and follow me. And notice, some of the people he picked to be his disciples were on the far left of society, tax collectors, sinners, people like Matthew, come, follow me. Don't get that jerk. He even taxes the Jews. Don't pick, come on, Matthew, follow me. So what he wants for the whole world is what we should want for the whole world. And here's what he wants. John 6 and verse 40. "This is the will of God who sent me." This is Jesus speaking. "That everyone who sees the Son," or sees me, "and believes in me may have" what? "Everlasting life," which means they will live forever. They will never die. And by the way, that's not reincarnation. They're going to live eternally, and I will raise him up at the last day to what? Be in heaven. Be alive eternally. Do you know of any other world religion that offers that kind of scenario? Anybody? Is there any other religion, thank you, that offers the scenario of, we want the best for everybody eternally, and I want to be the Lord of all their lives? No, there's nothing else, because there's no other God like our God. And there's no other Savior like our Savior, because nobody else died for anybody's sins. Isn't it interesting that some of the top world religions then get around that by saying to their people, you don't sin, so you don't need a Savior. Wow. Talk about being duped. And so the reality is I follow Jesus, I think you do, is because he's got the best interest of the whole world. I want somebody who loves everybody and who's teaching me to love everybody. Now, does that mean you got to like them? Does that mean you got to like them? No, but the flip side is they probably don't like you either, okay? So we're settled on that one. But the reality is that Christ is giving a love to every person and wants us to love them with the love that Christ first loved us. And haven't you found, since you became a Christian, you have a supernatural love for people and a patience for people and a care for people and a concern for people and prayers for people? I think it's amazing. And this comes because we follow Jesus. Third point is of the purpose that he gives to our lives. How many of you heard people lately say, I don't know what my life purpose is. I don't know what I'm doing on the earth. I don't know what the point of it all is. I think it goes back to the very first thing he gave to the fellows he was calling to be his disciples. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers. What does that mean? Think about that for a minute. What does it mean to be fishers of men? I mean, most of us have very little fishing experience. Those of you that do have got probably some great fish stories. Tell it to us at hospitality time today. But the reality is we don't think Jesus came to the earth to draw men to himself. Okay, but we're supposed to do that too, be fishers of men? Do you know what that tells me? That purpose is lifelong. It doesn't stop from the moment you're about 5-10 years old to the moment you're 95 or 100. You're still what? Concerned about people, and you want to see them drawn in to Christ's love. The net of his love make you fishers of men. And Paul also says to the church in the Hebrew church, he says, here's what we need to do because of purpose that Jesus gives to us in following him. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's our confession of hope. For he who promised is faithful. And here's what it says. Here's our purpose under fishers of men. Let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up what? Love and good works. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to love somebody? Talk to them kindly, respectfully. You know, I had a fellow say to me, I am sick and tired of people who won't give me eye contact. What should a Christian do every time you meet somebody? Look them straight in the eye, because the eyes are the window of the soul, and say, hello, how are you? And mean it. It starts with our first interaction with people. It starts with that handshake. It starts with the hug. It starts with the attention we're giving, and people will always say, you know, there's something different about this person. Something different about you. Well, it's because I'm a Christ follower. I can't tell you how many times that we've helped different people. We had a situation where there was a fellow begging for something to eat over here this week. So we decided we don't often give money, but we'll pay for something. But what we did was we said, "What do you need?" He says, "Oh, he says I just want a cup of coffee." So Jane says, "We'll get you a cup of coffee." What I said, "I'm so hungry." So I went over to Harvey's and I bought him a hamburger. We got him a coffee, large double-double, and Jane got him a Timmy's gift card for $10. You know what he kept saying to me? The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I don't know if he knew what he was saying, but I knew what it meant, what he was saying, because I was doing it, we were doing it in the name of what? The Lord. I don't know his life circumstance. I don't know where he's at, where he's going, what's he's going. But for that moment, wasn't it? I'm showing him love. And a good work may have been buy him a hamburger. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if I do good works for God, I've got to write a thesis. I've got, holy smokes, I've got to be committed to a 2-year program at the local drop-in center. I mean, I've got to serve at the food bank for another 10 years. I mean, no, that's not what it's all about. It's whatever you see, you take the moment and pour Christ's love into it through your personality. Love and good works. We had a man start coming to this church a while ago who noticed that there were these people next door The people next door were sick, and there were people kept bringing food to the house. And he went over and he talked to the wife one time. He says, well, who's bringing all this food to your house? He says, well, that's my church family. You're what? That's my church family bringing me food with my husband being sick. You're what? Okay? Because I think when people think Christianity in churches, it's like, oh, yeah. People have opinions about us. I mean, they think we're nuts. That's okay. We are. But the reality is that we seek to whatever influence we can to love one another and do good works out of the confession of our faith. So I'm doing this because I follow Jesus. Okay? And the reality is that we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together like today, because we need to be encouraged as we look around and go, how are you following Jesus? How's it been? Not too bad? Good. I'm going to pray for you this week. You keep trucking and following Jesus. Yeah, I'll do my best. And that's why we don't neglect our assembling together, but exhorting one another as we see the day approaching when we get to go home. And then Paul says in chapter 13, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. One of the reasons why we follow Jesus is because we know this is all temporary. It's all temporary. Have you thought lately that the birds you watch flitting around your backyard or in front of you when you're going for a walk will probably be dead in 5 years? And the birds that 5 years ago were flitting around you are probably dead? And the trees you thought were living forever, the last windstorm blew them down and they're done? They're now firewood? Have you thought about how temporary everything is on this world? If you do, it'll actually make you kind of tremble because you go, whoa. So nothing I'm really looking at is permanent. No, nothing you're looking at is permanent. But the best is yet to come. And we are serving one who is bigger than this world, which the Bible says one day is going to be burned up with fire. Jehovah's Witnesses are going to get an awful big surprise when they get to that point. So we have no continuing city, but the one to come. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. So if I'm following Jesus, what do I need to be doing every day? Praising him. And the more we praise him, and the more we thank him, and the more we think about him, the closer we get, and the easier it is to follow him. Have you ever noticed it's harder to follow somebody you don't talk about, think about, or nobody else talks about? You know, we have an MP. Who's the MP? I don't know. I don't know. Who's a member of Parliament? We got that too? I don't know. Now, if the member of Parliament lived right next door to us, we hopefully would get to know him pretty well, wouldn't we? And if the member of the provincial parliament lived on the other side of us, well, I'd bet there'd be a lot of security on our street. But the reality is, we praise the Lord, and that keeps us in the loop of loving him, thinking about him, listening to him, and everything that comes from that. And then it says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So again, we're back to, if we have purpose, we're doing what? Good works. We're sharing what we have. You with me? And that includes going to Superstore and getting a chicken dinner for somebody. I had a fellow begging one day outside of the Superstore, and I thought, I didn't know how many were in his family. So I went and I thought, you know what? I bought him half a chicken. A hot chicken. I thought, now he's a man. He's standing outside that door. If somebody handed me a half a chicken right now, I'd tie it right where I'm at. I'd rip that foil off, man, and I'd start digging. I don't care if I like white meat or dark meat, I'm eating. And I handed him this thing, and he immediately salivated. You know how you know when they salivate? Thank you. I'll tell you, men and meat. That'll do it every time. So do good and share with such sacrifices God is pleased. What that shows us is that you and I are loving unconditionally. Now here's the final point I want to stress with you. Why we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus, and I alluded to it in the last point, because he gives new life with what? Promised eternal reality. We get very entrenched with this world. Why? Because we know it. We see it. It's familiar. the people we know, the area we know, the roads we know, the stores we know, the food in the stores we know. Jane and I were taking some food over to Jane Gunn and her family the other night, and so some of the family members are vegan. So Jane went to that Indian restaurant, Curry and Cocktails, and she bought some lovely vegan food for them. And so while we were driving over to the house, the smell wafted through the car. And now it wasn't smells I was used to, but it sure smelled good. It was supper time. So we dropped off the food. We had a little time with the family, and then Jane's, okay, I'm going to take you over to that restaurant. We're going to try Indian food. So I'm going, I was in a dilemma. What smelled good, I didn't know, because all I knew was like curry, like, and to me, curry means hurry to the bathroom. That's how I equate curry. Okay. So we get in there. It's a lovely little place, and I said to the fella, I love lamb, and they had 14 lamb dishes. I go, what do you recommend? I don't know where to start. Why? Because I'm familiar with meat, potatoes, salad with blue cheese dressing, and broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, beans, or peas, okay? None of those things were on the menu. There were names I couldn't even pronounce. I felt like that gentleman. You remember John the Comedian, Around the World in 80 Buffets? All I can remember, he says, I went to an Indian restaurant and I got the curry. And I thought, oh God, I got to go to the bathroom. I thought, I'm sitting here looking at a menu. First thing I did is I looked for the bathroom. That's not fair to them. But we had a lovely meal, but it wasn't familiar to me. And so there was a certain tension. The reality is everything around us, we're familiar with it. But this is not home. As much as I enjoyed that Indian dinner, that's not going to be the Last Supper with Jesus. It's a stepping stone. By the way, I hear Phil and Liz really like Indian food, so go out for dinner with them sometime, because I think they know what everything means on the menus. They would help you. All right? I'm really good with Harvey's. And I know everything about the toppings for a hamburger. So if you want to come to Harvey's, I'm free to go to Harvey's with you. Okay, we'll keep that for later. Here's the reality of eternity. The reason we have an eternal promise is because of what Jesus did. What did he do? Hebrews said he went into the most holy place once for all, having what? Died for us and taken our sins away. He has opened the door for us to go to heaven, and nobody else can do it. And then he says it then in verse 14 of Hebrews 9, that we have an eternal spirit who offered himself without spot to God in order to cleanse our consciousness from dead works to serve a living God. We have a new freedom that's going to be eternal. We have a relationship with a God who is eternal. And so this is why John 14 is so important. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, in my Father's house are many. If it were not so, I would have told you, behold, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be, or you may be also. You know what? We need to be talking about this every week, not just at funerals. Many of you have had summer cottages, or have had places in Florida or whatever, or trailers in Texas or whatever. And if I were to say to you, tell me about your location in Texas, you would say, what are you talking about? Well, tell me about your Florida cottage. What? Tell me about where you golf when you go to Florida. What? Tell me about your cottage in the Muskokas. What? You wouldn't say that for a split second. You would go, so glad you asked. By the way, it's 83 degrees right now down where my trailer is in Florida. I wish I was there. Dawn Andrade was terrible for this. She'd phone and leave a text message, and she goes, it's 93 degrees in Yuma and beautiful. Shut up. because it's minus 14 here with 3.5 feet of snow. The reality is how quick we are to talk about all those kinds of things. And yet that's not even our eternal home. That's just the summer place. That's just the winter location. You and I need to walk in this door every day and say, you know what, I've been thinking about my eternal home. I'll tell you, I can't wait to see what the mansions are going to be like. You know what people would probably do? Go, what are you talking about? But that's what we need to be talking about. Because that's what drives a Christian. The best is yet to come. We're not home yet. And so here, as Paul says it, and Jesus having said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, you may be also, and you're going to get there because I'm the way, the truth, and the life to eternity. It excites me this morning to know that Christina's dad right now is home. 4 years ago, he was given a death sentence, 3 months to live because of liver issues, and it was an absolute mess. He lived 4 years, and the last 4 years have not been easy years. A lot of pain. But as I sat in that funeral service yesterday, and as I think about him today, I just saw him a little over a week ago in a hospital bed in the living room of his house. He ain't there. He's in glory. He's walking and leaping and praising God and seeing his family and talking to Jesus. And you know what? I'm jealous. But I also know when we get there, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be too. And that's the kind of some things that sometimes we need to let ourselves be motivated by. Because I don't know about you, this past week, I don't want to go through this last week. It was a week from hell. And I'm just glad to be through it. I got one of those bouts of diverticulitis, and if you've ever had diverticulitis, you know what pain is. And I'm just glad to be through that. But I look at this and I go, the best is yet to come because we got an eternal perspective. Absolutely. So as I conclude this morning with these four ideas of why we follow Jesus, I want to give you a benediction, and it's right out of Hebrews 13. And Paul has an amazing way, and if you read Paul's letters, he has an amazing way in each letter of wrapping everything up that he's saying in such a way that you feel like God is putting his arms around you. And listen to this, and can't you just see in your mind's eye God putting his arms around you? And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I want to thank you for this family. I want to thank you for their determination to follow you in every aspect of their life. None of us in this room are perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And his son loves us, your son loves us so deeply. And my prayer today is that we follow your son like never before. That we would appreciate who he is. The eternal promise that he gives to us. The purpose that he gives to our own lives. The desire to draw the entire world to himself and the sheer reality of who he is and what he is and his authority. And so this week, help us, Father, to follow your son well, to lean not on our own human understanding, but to seek a deeper relationship with the one who commands all of us. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And in that, know that in your good works and all that you do, in due time, I prepared a mansion in glory for you. And so, Father, with that assurance again this day, we bless your name, and we stand, as always, in amazement of your incredible and awesome plan for our lives. May we be encouraged, despite all that we're going through this week. May we be encouraged to stand and not waver, or grow weary in our faith, because greater is he that is in us. We bless your name. Amen. Give us a benediction, please, this morning.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for for who you are.
Yes.
How marvelous you are. Amen. And so, Father, again, as we leave this place, we want to keep our eyes on you.
Yes.
That we might become the men and women you would have us to be in this place called Osega Beach. And Father, teach us continually to be on our knees, knowing you forever and ever.